All right, we'll say good morning. Beautiful daf ahead of us today, daf Yud Gimel. We're going to begin on Yud Beis and with Beis 12b, and we are going to pick up, we have a lot to do today, my timer, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say our shir this morning is dedicated by Doug Stenger in memory of Avram Moshe ben Shraga Feivel Halevi, the great-grandfather of Alana Weinberg. We hope then the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a Nechama. We also thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, to thank Shirley Elbaum, together with their sons Avram, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families, for dedicating all of the Shurim and Drushos this month in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, in commemoration of his 10th yard site. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So remember, again, we left off yesterday with an interesting discussion that Chazal wanted to institute Parshas Balak as part of Kriyas Shema. But remember, again, they didn't do so. Why? The Gemara said, "Mepnei Torach Tzibor," because it makes davening too long. Right? Again, at that point in time, it's going to make Kriyas Shema a bit too long, so therefore they refrain from doing it. To which the Gemara says, "My time, what was so special about Parshas Balak? Right? What was it about that they wanted to institute it? So if you want to say it's because it has a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, that it has a reference to Exodus, if that's the case, lema parshas ribis u parshas mishkolos. Both say there are other sections in the Torah that also reference Exodus. Let them include the parsha of ribis, interest, or the parsha of having proper weights and measures. Dechsibba Yitzias Mitzrayim. Elo am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Am Mishum dechsibbe haikra. Really, what the rabbis liked about Parshas Balak most was that Parshas Balak, most, when we say Parshas Balak, understand what we're referring to. What we're referring to over here is more specifically the brachos of Bilam. That's really what it's referring to. So why did they like the brachos of Bilam? So this is quite beautiful because of the pasuk, Kara shach of Kari ukilavi miyikimenu. He crouches down, reference to Kalali. So he crouches down, lays down like a lion, and like a lion cub, ultimately, again, who could arouse him? Who could get him? Who could cause him to stand up? So he says, what does that do with anything? So if you look at Rashi says very beautifully, Tedami levishach bicha uvikumecha. So he says, so the imagery, ultimately, again, that Bilam is using over here of laying down and getting up is very similar to what? B'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha of Kriyas Shema. Right? When you go to sleep and when you get up of Shema. So because that Chazal originally wanted to institute this particular section, this particular parsha, but again, like we said before, because of Torah Tzibor, because it was too difficult, whereas it would cause a tircha, cause undue difficulty, so therefore they refrain. So why don't you just say that pasuk? In other words, if all you really want at the end of the day is that one pasuk, you don't want the whole parsha, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, just include that one pasuk and don't put in the rest of the parsha. To which the Gemara says, Gemiri, because we have a tradition, kol parsha de paska Moshe paskinon. The lo paska Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskinon. And Rabbi said, this is actually quite incredible. We have a halachic principle. And the halachic principle is that we do not divide up psukim. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu divided up, we divide up. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't divide up, we don't divide up. Which Rabbi says another way of saying that we don't use partial psukim. We don't use partial verses. So therefore, Rabbi said, this actually comes up. If you remember again, we saw it in the last cycle of Maseches Megillah. Like, this is a big discussion in Megillah. This comes up all of the time. It comes up at least weekly, right? Because again, many people for Kiddush begin with the phrase Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Shishi, right? Yom Shishi, right? So, which Aruch HaShulchan brings up as a fascinating practice, given the fact that that is a partial verse. That is a partial verse. So in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that really the way one should start Kiddush is Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa b'hinei tov ma'od Vayar Vayvoker Yom HaShishi. You should say the entire pasuk. Same thing with Kiddush Day. Al Kim Birach, right, is a partial pasuk. So again, it's an interesting discussion in halacha in general about when we allow the use of partial psukim, when we don't allow the use of partial psukim. But again, the Gemara says to just put in the phrase would be dividing up a verse that Moshe Rabbeinu did not divide, and therefore we don't do that. So the Gemara says, Parsha Tzitzis, Mei Makavua. Why did Chazal establish Parsha Tzitzis as part of Kriya Shema? Because let's listen to this. Parsha Tzitzis has five different elements in it. This is actually quite incredible. Parsha Tzitzis, of course, is the third paragraph of Shema. Fayomar Shalom Shalimar. So we'll say, so listen to this. What does it have? It has Mitzvah Tzitzis, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Exodus, all mitzvos, the concept ultimately of accepting the entire responsibility of mitzvos, Das Minim, a repudiation of heretical views, Hirhur Avera, right, the idea that one can't even think about sin, the Hirhur Avodah Zarah, and the negative ramifications of even thinking about idolatry. To which the words, let's analyze. Bishlam Ahani Tlas Mefarshan, so three out of the five are explicit. All mitzvos Tichsiv, Uri Isem also, Uzachartim is Kol Mitzvos Hashem. So we'll say, remember again, the Pasuk says, by tzitzis. Why do we wear tzitzis? Tzitzis remind us of the Taryag Mitzvos, of the 630 Mitzvos. I see the tzitzis and I'm reminded of the entirety of Torah. That's all mitzvos. Tzitzis dechsev vasulahem tzitzis. Yitzias Mitzrayim dechsev asher otzesi. So we'll say, so again, these three are explicitly mentioned. All mitzvos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, tzitzis are all explicitly mentioned in the paragraph. Ela das minim hira avera vira avada zora minolam. We'll say, but again, where do I know about the last three? Disanyo, acharei levavchem zum minus. So we'll say, so the Torah says, in the last paragraph of Shema, that you shall not follow after your heart. What does that mean, after your heart? Zum minus. This refers to matters of heresy. Right, what it means is don't follow your heart for heretical views. Now, Abbas Rashi says something amazing. So ultimately, what does minos mean? Osam ha'hofchim tamei Torah, the medrash ta'us va'atzil. So what's ve'elu? Excuse me. So we'll say. So what's minos? Minos are those right who misinterpret concepts of the Torah and ultimately transform it into something that it is not. Transform it into something foreign. That's minos. Don't follow your heart. Abbas say. You know, sometimes the greatest form of minos is when we go ahead and we interpret things in different ways in order to justify things that we already do. Like Rav Shem Shon Rafael Hirsch brings this down. He says, what's the difference between idolatry, between Avodah Zarah and monotheism? He says, in monotheism, you make yourself, in Yiddishkeit, I make myself in God's image. In Avodah Zarah, in idolatry, I make God in my image. So in idolatry, I decide what I want. I decide what I want, and then I create a system around it. So the idea of minos is sometimes in life we do this, sometimes consciously, sometimes subconsciously, which is we seek to justify things that we do or behaviors that we engage in. And so we interpret. No one wants to be on the wrong side of the law. Everybody wants to be righteous. So sometimes I could be righteous by doing the right thing, and sometimes I could be righteous by reframing the system to suit my needs. That's minus. That's minus, says the Gemara. V'cheinu omer amar nava b'libo in alukim achrei nechem. So what does it mean? Do not follow after your eyes. Zehirhur avera. We'll say this is incredible. This refers ultimately again to thinking about or fantasizing about sin. Shene emar vayomer Shimshon el aviv osa kachli ki hi yeshara be'inai. As Shimshon said to his father regarding Delilah, take her from me, for she is yeshara in my eyes. So the idea is Shimshon was taken by her beauty, but because ultimately he was swayed by her beauty, he made critical mistakes. Atem zonim zehir ha'avodah zarah. So I will say the continuation of the pasuk: those things which you lust after. This refers to thoughts or desires for idolatry. V'chinu omer vayiznu achare habayim. So I will say. So that concludes this section. Says the Mishnah. Mas an incredible, incredible Mishnah. Maskin yitzayim balelos. We make mention of the Exodus at night. That's the halacha, right? We go ahead. Rashi points out over here, that's the only reason we say the third paragraph of Shema at night. Because remember again, the third paragraph of Shema is Parshas Tzitzis. That's the dominant theme of the third paragraph of Tzitzis. The mitzvah of Tzitzis on a technical level does not apply at night. But yet we still say Parshas Tzitzis at night. What does that show you? Ultimately, again, showing you that we recite that paragraph not for tzitzis, but rather again for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Amar Elazar ben Azariah, Hareini k'bin Shem Shana. V'lo zachisi shetamar Yitzias Mitzrayim b'alelos. Let's listen to this. Elazar ben Azariah said, I am like 70 years old, and I never merited to have the halacha follow me, that we should recite the Yetzias Mitzrayim that night, Achadarsha ben Zoma, until ben Zoma came along. And what did ben Zoma say? Shene emar, leman tiskar siyom tseischame eretz Yetzirayim, kol yimei chayecha. Ben Zoma darshan esaz. The Torah says, you shall remember the day you left Egypt all the days of your life. So the Gemara darshan, or ben Zoma darshan, yimei chayecha hayamim. Yimei chayecha means you should remember the Exodus by day. Kol yimei chayecha, all, what does that all come to include? Halelos, the nighttime. V'cham necham say no, it means as follows. Yimei chayecha olam hazeh, it means that you should remember the Exodus in this world. Kol lahavid imos ha-mashiach. And kol comes to include what? The Messianic era. That not only do we remember the Exodus, quote unquote, in this world, but even when Mashiach comes, we will still continue to remember the Exodus as well. So we'll say, famous Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, says the Gemara Tanya, Amar lahen ben Zor. We'll say, by the way, you know, the Gemara of Elazar ben Azariah is in Brachas. So I have such a Yitzhahara to go into this Gemara now, because it's one of the most dramatic Gemaras of Elazar ben Azariah, but it's on Chav Ches. We'll get to it in Mir Tashem in about 2 weeks, so I'll save it for then. Tanya, Amar ben Zor lechachamim. Then Zoma said to the sages, so I'll say, the Mishnah told me something amazing. The Mishnah just told us that when Mashiach comes, we're still going to make mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus. So says Ben Zoma to the Chacham, is that true? But says Ben Zoma to the Chachamim, 1 second, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu that when Mashiach comes, we're no longer going to refer to God as the God who took us out of Egypt, but rather how are we going to refer to God? The God who is the ingatherer of exiles, the God who brought us in from all the different lands of our dispersion. Which sounds like essentially when Mashiach comes, we stop mentioning Yitzias, we stop mentioning the Exodus, because the dominant salvational event becomes Messianic redemption. To which the Gemara says, Amrulo, they said, the Chacham said to Ben Zoma, Lo shete ok yetzias haim koma, ela shete shibud malchias eger, yetzias haim tafelo. So we'll say, to which the Chacham say back to Ben Zoma, it's not the pshat, we're not going to forget yetzias haim, we can't forget yetzias mitzrayim. Rather, what's going to happen? Messianic redemption will become primary, and yetzias haim will become secondary. It'll still be mentioned, it'll still be highlighted, but it won't be the dominant salvational event. Ki otzi bo'ata omer, lo yikarishim cha'od. Lo yikra shimcha od Yaakov ki em Yisrael yeshmecha. So we'll say just like Hashem Baruch Hu changes Yaakov in his name. Top of your gimel. Lo she ya'aker Yaakov mimkomo. Eli Yisrael ikra v'Yaakov tafalo. So we'll say just like by Yaakov Avinu, when Hashem Baruch Hu changes his name, God, it's not the pshat that he's no longer called Yaakov. It's just that what Yisrael becomes the dominant name, Yaakov becomes the secondary name. So to say the Chachamim to Ben Zoma. To Ben Zoma, Mashiach comes. Mashiach becomes the we'll call it the pillar or center salvational event, and Yetzias Mitzrayim it takes on a little bit of a background of a second tier status, but it's still there. V'cheinu Omer Atisku Rishonim VeKadmonios Atisboninu. So it's about the Gemara quotes over here the pasuk from Yishayahu. Literally, again, do not remember the first ones, the Kadmonios, and the earlier ones, Altis Boninu, do not contemplate. What does that mean? Altis Kuru Rishonos, don't remember the first ones. Zesh Shibud Malchios, this refers ultimately again to Shibud Malchios. We'll say in this context, Shibud Malchios means the various exiles of Bavel, other places, the Kadmonios, Altis Boninu, and the earlier ones, do not contemplate. Zu Yetzias Mitzrayim. This ultimately again refers to Egypt. It refers to Exodus. Why? Because Hineni Ose Chadasha Ata Titzmach. Because now I'm going to make something new and it's going to sprout forward. Tani Rabbi Yosef, Zu Milchames Gogu Mago. This ultimately again, what is this new thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, is making? This refers to the war of Gog Umagog. Remember again, Gog Umagog is the ultimate showdown between good and evil, which precedes the arrival of Mashiach ben David, right? Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who leads the forces of good during Gog Umagog. Mashiach ben Yosef dies in Gog Umagog, but that ultimately paves the way for Mashiach ben David. So the Gemara says, Mashalim Adav Domer, to what can this be compared? La Adam Shahayim Halich Baderech, was an incredible mashal. Incredible mashal about human nature as well. A person is traveling on the road. Upaga bo ze'ev. He runs into a wolf. He right? And what happens? Beneath some men, Baruch Hashem, he's saved from the wolf. So we'll say, what happens? Every person he runs into, v'hayir mesaper v'holich ma'isezev. So we'll say, so what happens? Every person he runs into, he talks about the wolf. Oh, he talks about the wolf. I was saved from the wolf. Okay. Then what happened? Pagabari. He runs into a lion. Venitzal Mimenu. And he is, said, don't travel with this guy. No, this is not the right guy. Venitzal Mimenu. And he's saved from the lion. He's saved from the lion. And therefore, what? Vayim is Saper, Vaholich Maisari. And therefore, everyone he runs into, he tells about the lion. Pagabo Nachash. He runs into a snake. Venitzal Mimenu. He is saved from the snake. Shachach Maisishneim. He forgets about the wolf. And he forgets about the lion, and to everyone he runs into, he talks about the snake. So we'll say. So the metaphor is Afkan Yisrael Tzara Sachronos Mashkachos Esarishonos. So we'll say this, switching gears a little bit. The Gemara says that we will no longer talk about past tzaros. Why? Because the tzara of Gog Umagog will be so intense that it'll literally cause everything else to disappear into the backdrop. So the war of Gog Umagog will be so overwhelming that we'll no longer talk about Mitzrayim, we'll no longer talk about the Babel, no longer talk about Rome, no longer talk about any of those things, rather just talking about Gog Umagog. So we'll say, I just want to point out, what you have over here is something quite amazing. So remember again, we know we accept Halacha L'maisa, that we do mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, both by day and by night, right? That's why we say the third paragraph of Shema in Kriya Shema Shel Shachris and Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. In both places, there is a fascinating machlokes, however, about, again, what's going to happen in the Messianic era regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim. Will we make mention of the Egyptian exodus or not? So machlokes, fundamental machlokes, Meretz Hashem, halavai, we should be zochet to see the resolution. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. Now that we mentioned the change of name of Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara brings up some other name changes. Avram, who Avraham. So again, remember, Avram becomes Avraham. What's the meaning of the names? Betchilana sa'avli Aram. In the beginning, Avram Avinu was a father for his region, right? His region was Aram. So his influence only impacted his region. Ula basof, the hay is added, na'asa av l'chol ha'olam kulo. Remember, Avraham means Av Hamon Goyim, the father of a multitude of nations. So the name change represents a fundamental shift in Avraham Avinu's sphere of influence. Right? Originally, his sphere of influence is only felt in his immediate region, Av Aram, but then his sphere of influence really expands to the entire world. Rabbi, Rav Hirsch comments on this as well. He says, it's amazing. Where do we see that Avraham Avinu's influence spread around the world? Because Avraham Avinu is the father of every major faith. Right? So every major faith traces itself back to an Abrahamic ancestor. So in that respect, Avraham Avinu is the father of the major faith traditions. It's actually quite an amazing insight. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Sarai, hi Sarah. Betchilenasis Sarai Lumasa. In the beginning, Sarai was literally a princess for her own nation. Ulubasov Naasis Sara Lachola Olam Kulo. And then she became ultimately a princess for the greater world. So you see the idea, same idea. The name changes for Avram to Avraham and Sarai to Sarah represent an expanded field of influence. Right? Ultimately, again, originally they just impacted their region, but they would each go on to impact the world. Tani Bar Kafra, Kalakori la Avraham, Avram over Ba'asei. We'll say you are not allowed to call Avraham, Avram. And if you do so, you actually violate a positive commandment. Shene Emar, V'hayashimcha Avram, Avraham. As the pasuk says, for lo yikari ode shimcha Avram, v'hayashimcha Avraham. So the Gemara understands that v'hayashimcha Avram is a positive commandment. So we'll say Avram and Avraham are not interchangeable. Once Avram becomes Avraham, there is no longer an Avram identity. So Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer, Omer over Belav. Rabbi Lezer says, in fact, if you call Avraham Avram, you violate a prohibition. Shneimar, for lo yikari ode shimcha Avram. I elameata kori the Sarai Sarai Halchinami. So 1 second, is that true from Sarai to Sarah also? That if you call Sarah Sarai, that is also a problem, to which the Gemara says, no, here's the difference. Hasam Kutshabrihu Amarli Avram, Sarai Ishticha lo Sikra Eshema Sarai, Ki Sarashma. So this is actually quite interesting. The Gemara understands that the real impact of the name change for Sarai to Sarah was for Avraham. Right, was for Avram, that God told Avram, you will no longer call your wife Sarai, but rather you will call her Sarah. But klapei chutz, from a public perspective, it doesn't appear that Sarai's name change was as loudly broadcasted as Avraham's. So therefore, again, to call Avraham Avram is in violation of either an aser or a los aser, but that doesn't apply from Sarai to Sarah. Elameata kor li Yaakov Yaakov hachanami. So why don't they say something by Yaakov? That I should really call Yaakov Yisrael. That's what God changed his name to. And if you call Yaakov, if you call Yaakov Yaakov, or you call Yisrael Yaakov, then I should be over on some type of prohibition or some type of positive commandment. To which the Gemara says, no, Yaakov is the exception. Shiny hasam the hadr ahadre kra. It's different by Yaakov, because the pasuk goes back and it says, Dechsiv, Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael Maros Halayla Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. So what's it? You see over here that what? You see that Hashem himself called Yaakov Yaakov even after the name change, right? So unlike Avram, who once he transitions to Avraham, is no longer Avram, Yaakov Avinu, even after the name change to Yisrael, is still referred to as Yaakov. Masiv Rabbi Yossi bar Avi Meitein Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, Avtu Elokim HaShem Bachar Tehu Avram. So we'll say, so just before we get into this, so just understand the distinction between Yaakov and Yisrael versus Avram and Avram is, remember again, Avram to Avram, as we said before, represents Avram is of a limited influence, Avraham is of an expanded influence. So therefore, if you understand that, it makes sense why you can't call Avraham Avram. He's no longer that person. Yaakov Yisrael is different. The Yaakov Yisrael dynamic or dialectic is Yaakov really refers to the identity of Yaakov as an individual. Yisrael refers to the identity of Yaakov as a patriarch and as the founder of a dynasty. So if you look, you look in the Chumash, you'll see that throughout the Chumash, whenever the name Yaakov is used, the events that are going on refer to Yaakov as an individual. And whenever Yisrael is used, it is always something regarding the Shvatim, regarding the family, regarding more destiny-oriented items. So the Gemara says, one second, Master Rabbi Yossi bar Avniti, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, Ato hu Elokim, Ato hu Hashem HaElokim, Asha bachartu bi Avram. I'll say, but one second, we have a pasuk. I have a pasuk in Nehemiah that we see every single day, which is, you are Hashem, the God who chose Avram. Now, what is it saying? The pasuk is talking about Avram over here. Obviously, Nehemiah is way after Avram Avinu, and you're using the name Avram. Why aren't you using the name Avraham? To which the Gemara says, no, there it's different. The Navi is talking a little bit from the lens of history. He's saying, you are the God who chose Avram when he was only Avram, and you helped himself actualize ultimately to become Avraham. Incredible. I will say, Hadrin Allah Me'imasar. Mazel Tov. I will say, there are people here, there are people here who may have just finished their first parak of Gemara. There are others who perhaps have just finished their first parak of Maseches Brachos. I will say, we know sometimes life is this incredible balance. On one hand, you never say, wow, shkoyach, I'm going to take the rest of the day off, right? What we say in Judaism is, shkoyach, great job, what's next? What's next? Yet at the same time, a person always has to take a moment to also give themselves a little bit of a pat on the back for the accomplishments that they have managed to reach. So again, a mazel tov on finishing the first parak of Maseches Brachos. For those who again are repeating the cycle of Daf Yomi, incredible mazel tov to staying with it through the first chapter. For those who are just beginning with us, an incredible mazel tov, and only the beginning, literally the tip of the iceberg for the dramatically amazing things that are still to come. Right there. Hayakar Batorah. So listen to this interesting case. A person was reading in the Torah. Now this is actually quite literally Hayakori Batorah. The person's reading the Parsha of Shema in a Torah scroll. V'igiyaz man ha-mikra, and it came time to go ahead and it came zman kriyas Shema. Im kivein libo yatsa, if he had intent. We'll see what that means. If he had intent, then ultimately, again, he can be Yotze, the reading of Kriyas Shema, ultimately, again, through his reading from the Torah scroll. So find that's the first halacha. Next, Biprakim. Now we're going to get a little bit into the halachos concerning Hefsek, concerning interruptions in Shema. So Biprakim actually means in between the paragraphs of Shema. Now we're going to discuss what in between the paragraphs means in just a bit. Beprakim sholem mipnei akavadu meishiv ba'emsam. We'll say in between the paragraphs, you could go ahead and ask mipnei akavad. Now we'll say this is actually quite interesting. If you look at Rashi, sholem mipnei akavad, shol b'shalom adum nechbad shirai lahaktim lo shalom. We'll say, as you're going to see, there are different categories of people. There are some people who you are obligated to respect, right? Who I should have kavod for. So we'll say, so the idea is, one of the manifestations of kavod for another is proactively greeting them. So if I have someone who, let's say, I have kavod for, I proactively greet them. So the Gemara is talking about over here, when can you make interruptions in Shema? So if you're in between paragraphs, shom et ne'a kavod, you could inquire, right? You could greet someone whom you are obligated or who you have reverence for, respect for, umeshiv. And if that person says, shalom aleichem to you, you could respond. This is in between the paragraphs. Uba emsa, what happens if you're in the middle of a paragraph of Shema? Then what? Shom ipnei ayira. You are permitted to inquire the welfare of someone who you fear. We'll say, what's the definition of fearing someone? Rashi points out, they have the power of life and death over you. So if someone has the power of life and death over you, so you're permitted to interrupt in the middle of the paragraph of Shema, to go ahead and greet them. Umeshif, and similarly, you could go ahead, if they inquire of your welfare, you are permitted to go ahead and respond. Div Rabbi Meir. Well, see, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says no. Be'emsa, shom ipnei ayira, meshiv ne'a kavod. If you are in the middle of a paragraph of Shema, you could inquire about the welfare of someone who you fear, right, who you fear, and you could respond if someone who you're obligated to revere gives you shalom, you could respond back. Ubeprakim, but in between the paragraphs, shom ipnei akavod, you could inquire about the welfare of someone who you're obligated to respect. Umeishiv shalom lechol adam, and you could return the greeting of any person. So if somebody talks, if somebody says shalom aleichem to you, in between the paragraphs, even quote unquote an ordinary person, you could respond to that greeting as well. So it says the Mishnah, what, when we say between the paragraphs, what are you talking about? Eilu hein bein aprakim. We'll say here are between the paragraphs. Bein bracha rishon l'shniyah. Now, interesting enough, this doesn't just refer to Shema itself. What else does this refer to? Birchos Kriya Shema, the brachos before Shema. So between bracha number one and bracha number two. So for example, we'll say between Yotzer Or and Avarabba. That would be Bein Aprakim. Or Yotzer Ma'oros and Avarabba. Bracha Shema, Bein Shnia, Bein Shnia L'Shema, between the bracha of Avarabba and Shema, so referring to Shacharis right now, Bein Shema L'Vahaya, suppose you see something very interesting over here. Shema and the Ahavta are a unit. Shema and Vihafta are one unit. So Shema, right, so that's counted as one paragraph. So between Shema, Vihafta, and Vayayim Shema, that's the second paragraph. Levayayim Shema, Bein Vayayim Shema, Levayomer, and between Vayayim Shema and Vayomer, Bein Vayomer, La'emes V'yatziv, between Vayomer and Emes V'yatziv, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bein Vayomer, La'emes V'yatziv, Lo Yafsik. Rabbi Yehuda says for some reason that between Vayomer and Emes V'yatziv, you should not stop. We'll see that in tomorrow's daf. Why not? Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. So we'll say, so that those are the halachos of Hefsik, right? Of stopping in between the paragraphs, in the paragraphs. We'll see more of that in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. Lama Kadma Parshas Shema L'Vayim Shema. So we'll see now, remember again, the three parshas of Shema do not follow each other in the Torah. Right, Shema and V'yahavta are together, right? But at the end of the day, Vayom Shemon and Vayomer are not mentioned together in the Torah, right? They're pulled from different places. So why? So Chazal clearly organized this. Not only did they bring the three paragraphs together, but they made an order. So Rishu ben Karcha says, Lama Karma Parsha Shema L'Vayom Shemo? Why is the Parsha of Shema, which Rabosha again means, Shema and V'yahavta, why is that before Vahayim Shamoa? Very simple. Kedei she'kabal alav oma chushayin tchila, v'acharkach mekabal alav om mitzvah. So we'll say this is so beautiful. Because what does Shema and V'yahavta really refer to? What does Shema and V'yahavta refer to? It refers to an acceptance of a relationship. Kabolas oma chushayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I accept you upon myself as my God, and I love you. And I love you. I love you with every aspect of my being. So Shema and V'yahavta are Kabbalas Olam HaChushmayim. I accept this relationship. I want this relationship. And then Vayayim Shema gets into what? Vayayim Shema Tishmoyim. So Zayash HaNochim Zayashchem Hayom refers to the performance of mitzvos. They both say mitzvos are only meaningful, truly meaningful if what? If what? If they actualize in the context of relationship. who will say so many times, this is the part that's missing from our Yiddishkeit. We're so good with the details, and we're so good with the mechanistic behaviors, and we're so in tune with what God wants us to do, but we forget that the performance of those very things is part of a relationship. I daven because I want the relationship. I put on tefillin because I want the relationship. I have Shabbos, I have kashrus, I learn Torah because I want the relationship. These things are not an ends, but they're a means to create a sense of race, relationship, and closeness. And that's why Shman V'Ahavta have to come before Vayayim Shema. It's incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. Vayayim V'Shon L'Vayomer Shevayim Shema Noik Vayom V'Vayla Vayomer Eino Noik Ela Vayom Bilvat. So we'll say, so a very simple idea. Why does Vayayim Shema come before Vayomer? Because the primary topic of Vayomer is what? Tzitzis, Parsha Tzitzis. That's the primary part of it. Right? That only applies by day. So therefore, again, Vayayim Shema, which talks about mitzvos, which applies by day and by night, comes before the paragraph of Vayomer, which primarily deals with subject matter that only applies by day and not by night. Good. Says the Gemara, we'll say an incredible Gemara. Shema Mina, what do you see from here? Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. I will say, now what the Gemara is picking up on over here is something fascinating, which is the opening line of the Mishnah says, Hayakori b'Torah v'igiyaz man ha-mikra. Person is reading in a Torah scroll. We'll say, just so you understand the picture here. Literally, I'm reading in a Torah scroll. I realize, oh, it's Zman Kriya Shema. Zman Kriya Shema. So, as luck would have it, where am I in the Torah? Right, at least initially, I'm right by the section of Shema. Shema. So the Mishnah says, no problem, just go ahead. In Kivein Libo, if you have concentration, Kavana, intent, you could be Yotzei Shema. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That in order to fulfill a mitzvah requires explicit intent. It requires kavana. Now I will say, now what does that mean, requires kavana? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shema mina mitzvah tzrichos kavana. She miskavin l'shem mitzvah. That when performing a mitzvah, we'll say you have to have in mind the performance of a particular mitzvah. I was about to say, it is not just enough to do the behavior, but rather a person must have explicit intent that what I am doing is in order to fulfill a particular mitzvah. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Mayim kivein libo. What does it mean if he had kavana in the Mishnah? Maybe it's just likros. He had kavana to read. Likros, kavana to read. V'haga kari. Obviously, he's reading. To which the Gemara says, bakori lagia. No, maybe what's the case? The case I'll say is the situation. As the Gemara is explaining it, the man who's reading the Torah is reading it to correct it. He's reading it to correct it. So sometimes when you read a Sefer Torah to go ahead and correct, so sometimes, first of all, your kavana is not necessarily to read, and even then you don't always sound out the words correctly. Correctly. So the idea the Mishnah is saying is, if a person is reading the Torah to correct the words, right, if you, Zman Kriyashma, if you have in mind to go ahead and read the Torah correctly, read it correctly, then you could be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Shema. Which I will say seems to indicate that mitzvos do not require explicit intent. So we'll say, so this is a much bigger topic. We don't have time to get into it today. I think it might be the topic of next week's Lunch and Learn, the concept of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, because it's actually quite fascinating. Just to kind of give you an idea, we'll say, what is, in order to say, so do mitzvos require kavana, not require kavana? Then of course a subset to that is, what is kavana? Right, what does kavana mean? Is situational kavana enough? Explicit kavana? And yet one thing we do know, which is for sure, which is what? Some mitzvos do require kavana. That's for sure. But say, for example, exactly, sukkah, right? Sukkah requires kavana, right? The opening sif in Shulchan Aruch is l'man yedu dorosechen ki besukkah so shafti es b'nei shalom v'otzio sam eretz Yisrael. If in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, you must understand why you are sitting in that hut. Why does sukkah have that and other mitzvahs don't? Okay, we'll have to be mine in a different time. Tana banan, kriyashma kichsava. So we'll say the Gemara goes right there. Kriyashma kichsava. Now we'll say what that means is, Rashi says in Lashon HaKodesh, Kriya Shema must be recited in Hebrew as it is written. V'cham d'cham z'divei Rebbe, v'cham d'cham say b'cholosh. You can say Shema in any language you want. To which the Gemara says, my time with the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's logic? Amar Kra, v'hayu, b'avyasanyu. Rebbe says again, because the word v'hayu means these words must be read as they are. Just as they are written in Lashon HaKodesh, so too they must be read in Lashon HaKodesh. For Rabbanon, my time, I asked Rabbanon's logic why they could say Kriya Shema could be said in any language. Amekra Shema b'chol lashon sh'ata shomer. Because we'll say the pasuk says Shema. Shema means what? Shema means hear. So it means hear in any language that you can hear. Ul Rebbe, nami haksiv Shema. What does Rebbe do with Shema? To which the Gemara says, Umi boile, hashmei la'oznecha ma'asha avata motzi mipicha. Rebbe uses Shema to teach you that what? When you recite Shema, you have to say it enough in an, enough of an audible voice that you can hear what it is that you're saying. The Rabban hold no, that although ideally it's nice to say Shema in a semi-audible voice, if you didn't do so, you are still Yotze. What do the Rabbanan do with the word vayu? The Rabbanan learned it out to mean that you should not read Shema out of order. Right, I will say, now we're going to see exactly what that means. Does that mean the paragraphs out of order or the verses out of order? We'll discuss that. So where does Rebbe learn that you can't read Shema out of order? So we'll say the word hadvarim, these things, the hey, the definitive article, the hey ha-yidia, tells you that these things must be read in the order as they are written. For Rabbanan, dvarim hadvarim lo dash. Rabbanan don't have that drasha. So we'll say this yields a very interesting reality. L'memra, the Savar Rebbe d'chala Torah kul b'chala shur nemra. We'll say must be that Rebbe holds that in general, the rest of the Torah can be read in any language you want. Why? Because if you hold that the entire Torah must be read in Lashon HaKodesh, so then why does the pasuk need to say by Shema Vahayu? Vahayu, remember again, what was Rabbi's drasha? Vahayu, Rabbi said, Shema must be read as it is written. So that must mean that what? The rest of the Torah can be read in any wording, in any Lashon. Because why? The Torah goes out of its way to say that Shema is different. Shema is vayu. Shema must be read in the language in which it's written. So the Gemara says, vayu dichas of lachman alamali. It's tirach mishum dichsiv Shema. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily, because why? Even Rabbi will say, the pasuk does say Shema. And Shema does have a pretty compelling drush of listen in any language that you hear. Therefore, the Torah has to say, vayu, tell me no, Shema has to be read in Hebrew. Or Lashon HaKodesh, I should say. The Meimer d'Rabbanan Savi d'chala Torah kula b'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra. It must be that d'Rabbanan hold that the entire Torah can be read in Lashon HaKodesh. This Sakadai Tcha b'chol Lashon Nemra, because if you say that the entire Torah can be read in any language, Shema d'kasev Rachman Alamali, then why do you need the drush of Shema? Right, according to the Rabbanan, Shema says what? Listen in any language that you hear. It's tzrich mishum dechsev v'hayu. So we'll say same thing. According to the Rabbanan, because there is the phrase v'hayu, therefore you need Shema as well. Good. Tan Rabbanan, v'hayu, shelo yikra lemafreya. V'hayu means you can't read the parts of Shema out of order. Hadvarim al levavecha. What does it mean? These words on your heart. Yachol te kol parsha tzvicha kavana. You might have thought that the entire parsha of Shema should require kavana. Talmud lomar ha'ilah. Therefore, the pasuk says ha'ilah. The word is ha'ilah. Ad kan tzvicha kavana. It is only until the point of until the words al levavecha in the first paragraph of Shema that you have to have kavana. Mikan ve'ilach in tzvicha kavana. But from that point on, you do not require kavana. Divi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, Harehu Omer, Amadeis, Harehu Omer, Asha Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Livavecha. The pasuk says that I've commanded you today on your heart, Mikan Atalamat, from here you learn, Shekala Parsha Kula Tzvicha Kavana, that the entire first paragraph of Shema requires kavana. Now, both say, what exactly does kavana mean? Let's assume right now we're dealing with the most basic definition of kavana, which is number one, you're awake, right? Which, all kidding aside, we're going to see that's an issue, right? You're awake. Number two, you're not doing anything else, right? I'm not walking. I'm not this. I'm awake and I am focused on this. Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Akiva. The halach of Rabbi Akiva, and we should have kavana for the entire first paragraph of Shema. One who reads Shema has to have kavana. Rav Acham Mishra Yehuda Omer, Kevan Shekivein Libo Beperek Rishon, Shuv Einot Tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says, once you've had kavana for the first paragraph of Shema, Shema and V'Ahavta, there is no longer any obligation of kavana. Boss, I just want to be clear. When we say no obligation of kavana, please understand, of course it's good to have kavana, right? But what it's saying is, what is an indispensable necessity for the actual performance of the mitzvah. Rabbar Amra Barakana Amra Biokan Halacha Krabacha Sham Sham Bihuda. Fine. Tanya Idach another Braisa Vahayu Shilo Yikra the Mafreya. Vahayu teaches me I can't read Shema out of order. Alabavcha on your heart, Rabzutra Amar, Ad Khan Mitzvas Kavana. Nikan Ve'elach Mitzvas Kriya. Rabzutra said up until this point of Alabavcha in the first paragraph of Shema, that's where you have to have Kavana until. From that point forward, there's not a mitzvah of kavana, but there's a mitzvah of kriya. The mitzvah of kriya means you must read it correctly, right? You must read it without mistakes. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Ad kan mitzvahs kriya, mikan ve'ilach mitzvahs kavana. Rabbi Yosef Bosei says the opposite. Up until this point, there's a mitzvah of kriya. From here on is mitzvah of kavana. What does that mean? Maishna mikan ve'ilach mitzvah as kriya. Dichsiv lidaber bam. Hachana miksiv v'dibarta bam. So we'll say, so why is it ultimately, again, according to the first opinion, that halacha lemaisa, the mitzvah of kavanah is up until alavavcha, but after that, there's only mitzvah of kriya, because the pasuk is ledaberbam, you have to speak in them. Speaking in them means they just have to say the words, they don't have to have kavanah. But in the second paragraph, it also says vidibartam bam, right? So maybe, again, you have to have kavanah through the second paragraph. Hachi kamar, ad kan mitzvah kavanah ukriya, mikan ve'ilach kriya below kavanah. Rather, what it means, Rabbi says, up until the middle of the first paragraph is the mitzvah of kriya with kavana. The rest of Shema is just the mitzvah of kriya, which means you have to read it correctly with no kavana. Umayshna ad kan mitzvahs kavana ukriya dechsiv alevavcha v'dibarta bam. Hasam nami haksiv alevavchem v'dibarta alevavchem l'daber bam. So we'll say, one second, you're telling me that you only have to have kavana and kriya through the middle of the first paragraph because it says alevavcha v'dibarta bam. But in the second paragraph, it also says alavavchem ledabrebam. So should that not mean that I need to have kavana through the second paragraph as well? Homi by the chidra b'yitzchak. Damar, v'samtem estevarai eila. What does it mean that you shall place these things? Right? Tzricha shetehei sima kineget halev. The Rebbe says that teaches us that what? That ultimately, again, tefillin, if you look at Rashi, it's the last white light in Rashi on top. Shetei sima kineget halev deha v'samtem dechsev lav b'kriya b'kavana ayri ela b'simas tefillin. Because Rebbe says the second paragraph, already when speaking about v'samtem es divara ila, is no longer talking about the words of Torah, but rather is talking about tefillin. Rebbe says, Amar, so we're going to resolve this in just a moment. Amar, Rabbi Yosha Omer, ad kan mitzas kriya, mikan ve'elach mitzas kavana. So let's remember again, Rabbi Yosha said that up until the words alevavcha in the first paragraph of Shema is the mitzvah of kriya. From that point on, there's the mitzvah of kavana. So we'll say, Maishna mikan ve'ilich mitzvahs kavana. Why is it that the mitzvah of kavana would be only after that point? Mishum dechsiv alevavchem. Hachanami haksiv alevavcha. So we'll say, Chachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Ad kan mitzvahs kriya ve'kavana. Really what he meant to say, Rabbi Yosef, was up until this point, meaning alevavcha, there's a mitzvah of kriya and kavana. Mikan ve'ilach kavana below kriya. But from that point forward, there's a mitzvah of kriya, of kavana, but without necessarily being medaktik in kriya. Umayshna ad kan mitzvahs kriya ve'kavana, dechsiv alevavcha v'dibarta bam. Hasam nami haksiv alevavchem l'daber bam. To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. That's not talking about kavana, rather, hahu b'divrei Torah ksiv. That's actually talking about words of Torah. This is what the Torah is telling us. Agmiru banaychu Torah. Teach your children Torah. Ki hechi dilegar subahu. In order that they should become versed in Torah. Or as we'll say, what is the goal of chinuch? What is the goal of chinuch being mechanech our children? Not just simply to teach our children Torah, as if it was another subject matter, but ultimately, again, to enable our children to become proficient in Torah. Because if they're proficient in Torah, then ultimately, again, they will delve into Torah. It's a very important yesod. The goal of chinuch is not to ply my child with information. That's not the goal, right? That's not the goal. Because again, just because you have a lot of information doesn't mean it has any level of meaning to you. But the goal ultimately, again, is to help them become versed in Torah, agmiru. Help them understand and appreciate the beauty and profundity of Torah, ki hechi dilegar subu, so that they will want to learn Torah on their own. Incredible. Turn it up on us. We'll say, so again, just to understand, to sum up, I know we're going quickly, I apologize, but to kind of summarize, we have a fundamental machlokes as to how much of Shema do you have to have kavana for? Here's what we know. Everyone, what does everyone agree on? That you don't what? You don't need kavana for the entire Shema. That's for sure. Interestingly enough, what do you require for the entire Shema? Kriya, right? Proper reading of the words. That you absolutely require for Shema. But you don't need kavana. So what we've seen so far are different opinions as to how much of Shema you actually must have kavana for. So we'll say, here we come to the halacha. Ten rabbanan, second wide line. Ten rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Shema Kenel Hashem Echad. Ad kan tzricha kavana, kavana salev, div Rebbe Meir. Both Rebbe Meir says, how much of Shema do you have to have kavana for? The first line. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We'll say that is where the obligation of kavana for Shema begins and ends. Amr Rava, Hilchasa Krab Meir. Rava says the halacha follows Rabbi Meir. Tana Sumcha, so we'll say so again. And this indeed is the halacha as codified by the Shulchan Aruch. That although ideally, of course, we strive to have kavana for the entire Shema, but at the end of the day, as long as you could have Kavanah for the first line of Shema, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, ultimately, again, that is going to be enough. So the Gemara says, well, bro, so we're going to discuss in one moment what that Kavanah is. Amar Rav, Halach Remeir, Tana Sumchus, Tanya Sumchus Omer, Kala Ma'arich Be'echad, Ma'arichan Lo Yomo Vushnosa. Rav will say, this is very beautiful. Whoever prolongs or elongates the word Echad, ultimately, again, Ma'arichan Lo Yomo Vushnosa, is given longevity of days and years. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, we'll discuss in just a moment. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Ubedalid. What are you supposed to elongate? Rav will say, supposed to elongate the Dalid. Rav will say, and the truth is, many Sephardic traditions have a much easier time with this than Ashkenazim. Because we Ashkenazim, we say Dalid as duh. You can't really elongate a duh sound. Because what happens if you elongate a duh sound? What is it? It's ah. Duh. Yeah, it's not that, it's an ah sound. So in certain Sephardic cultures, the duh, the Dalid is a thuh. Is a thus sound. You could elongate a thus sound much better than you could elongate a thus sound. But nevertheless, okay, but we elongate the dalal. We'll discuss in just a moment. Amar Rav Ashi says, O bilvachal yachtov b'ches. But make sure that the elongation of the dalal doesn't come at the expense of the ches. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Havi Yosef Kameid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Chazei Dehu Marech Tuva. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was once sitting in front of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and I said Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was really elongating the echad. Amar Lei, Kevan Dem Lichte Lamalu Lamata La Abba Ruchos HaShemayim Sulo Tzichas. You're good, right? We're not enough already. Right? So else I said, once you say the echad long enough, that you can have in mind, ultimately again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God above and below and in all four directions, There is no need to elongate it or prolong it anyway. So we'll say, let me just end with this important piece of halacha. So halacha lemaisa, this is how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that, again, the ikar kavana for kriyas shema ultimately is on the first line. Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If you have kavana for that first line, you have discharged the obligation for kavana. The rest is an obligation of kriya. What is the kavana that you have to have during kriyas shema? I will say, this is very important. So obviously, the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. I accept that Kodesh Baruch Hu as my God. I willingly enter into the relationship in that moment. Hashem Echad. Now, we'll say the Ikar Kavan is in Echad. Echad, the Aleph, means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is one. Ches, there are eight dimensions of the celestial sphere. So I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has full reign over every one of the dimensions of the celestial sphere. And Dalid, four, refers to the four directions. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God over all four directions of the world. So God, so number one, I enter willingly into this relationship. God is one. He reigns over all eight levels of the celestial sphere and all four corners of the world. That is the kavana that is an indispensable necessity for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an interesting practice that someone covering their eyes for Shema, and I will say the idea of covering your eyes also is just a din of kavana, is a din of concentration. Some have a practice that when they say Echad, ultimately again, specifically by the Dalid, they move their head in all four directions. Ultimately, again, being a way to reinforce that kavana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of what is above, and the God, ultimately, again, of all four directions as well. We'll say just one more piece. We have another minute. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, right? Zehu, Zeh Kriyas Shema Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. We'll say, this is what this was, the Shema, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said. Amar Lei, Rav, Amar Lei. Did I skip? Okay, Amar Rav Nosef Bar Malka, Amar Rav Yehuda, Alav Avcha Ba'amida. All right, we're going to stop it. I tried. All right.